You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north. It's a Wednesday morning, November 5th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. We will be talking to Up North News newsletter editor Ellie Bordeaux in literally seconds. But I want to let you know that Congressman Mark Pocan will be joining us 30 minutes from now to talk not just about the government shutdown, but last night's election results. It was, blue wave is putting it mildly across the country, which is not a surprise. This is what has happened every time in Donald Trump's first and second term when he's not on the ballot and running against a woman, I had parenthetically, in every other midterm election, special election that comes up. People look at what is out there and reject it. And that was the case in several states. And we'll talk to Mark Pocan about whether that might move Republicans off the schneid, because otherwise they risk being dragged down in the 2026 midterms, even worse than history would suggest they are already falling. So we'll talk to the congressman about that. And then at 8:35, we'll talk to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks about her Raising Wisconsin video series, specifically about measles and measles outbreaks and how woefully unnecessary they are. If you can't hang around, then follow us as a podcast. Head to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Mornings with Pat Kreitlow there. We'd love to have you along. You should also be subscribing to our daily newsletter. Find it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe. You can get my Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics, but more importantly, you can get our Monday through Friday morning edition that is written by Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor at Up North News, who joins us this week each time to tell us what she's been working on. Ellie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, we're great. It is good to see you. How was your Halloween? Did you go out and about?
Halloween was fun. My family is big on traditions in every holiday, but Halloween is no different. We have a big party at my house. My whole family comes over. My uncle has a DeLorean, actually. So we park the DeLorean in our driveway and everyone comes and take pictures with it. It's so fun because people come by every year and they're like, oh, it's the DeLorean house. Like, they know us at this point. So it's super fun. Yeah.
You're the DeLorean house.
Yeah.
That's cool. No, it's good. It's interesting to be known in the neighborhood that way. So have you then portrayed like the same character or different characters to go along with the bit?
I don't, but my uncle and my brother do. My brother goes as Marty McFly and my uncle goes as Doc, and they go through the parade every year and they dress up every year. So it's super fun.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. Okay. So we've been talking, you've had a lot of great photos in the newsletter about Halloween decorations, but also about fall colors. There was another beautiful photo in there today. People definitely love sharing their scenes, the scenery around Wisconsin.
Yes, that's for sure. It's so fun to get those responses. And all of the photos that I get are so incredible. I had one, I think, last week, and it was a drone shot up. I believe it was in Hayward. I can't remember for sure. But all of the photos I get are just so incredible. So it's so fun to get those in and share them with everyone else.
Yeah. And by the way, if you ever want to share photos with us, either for the newsletter or maybe we put them up during the radio show for folks watching us on Facebook or YouTube, our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or you can text us through the text line here, 855-75-CIVIC, or through the Civic Media app. Text us your photos. I'll get those passed along to Ellie as well. In the news, we've been talking, of course, about the government shutdown and the ending of SNAP food benefits temporarily, and the ways that Wisconsinites are stepping up, either individually or in various groups, or even a grocery store chain like Hy-Vee. What is it that they're doing?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this, obviously for a very long time. And we had a story about it last week of different ways that people can step up and help their local food pantries, because they're obviously in really high demand right now. So Hy-Vee is stepping up there, offering free kids meals for, I believe, it's kids 12 and under, and it's from November 3rd through November 7th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And those meals are still offered at $3 outside of those times, so for anyone above 12. And so they're offering that. They also are offering different food donation bundles. You can get one for $5 or for $10. And there's they include things in the bundle that food pantries really need right now, you know, because it's important to make sure you, before donating to a food pantry, of course you should donate, but also understand what they need right now, you know, because some places don't take produce, some people mm-hmm. prefer non-perishables, those kinds of things. So Hy-Vee is really stepping up right now, which is really great to see.
It really is. You know, people love helping one another here in Wisconsin, by and large, maybe not some elected officials, but otherwise people love to help one another. And it's not just something that's restricted to our borders. There is a candle company here that has helped with other worthy causes. And the same goes for all the folks in the Caribbean who have suffered from Hurricane Melissa. Tell us more about that.
Right. Yeah. So Door County Candle Company is obviously a candle company in Door County, and they make candles to go towards different relief funds. So they, when Hurricane Melissa made landfall on October 28th, they made a candle to where 100% of the proceeds go towards, or 100% of the profits go towards that relief fund. And they've done this with other natural disasters in the past. They did one for the Texas floods. They did one for Hawaii. They've done a ton of these in the past, right? Yep. They did one for Ukraine as well.
Exactly. I'm holding up for the camera for Ellie to see my Door County candle for Ukraine with the Ukrainian flag colors on there. Yeah. Whole bunch of causes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the company gained national recognition for that Ukraine candle, where they raised over $1.6 million to go to those in need in Ukraine. So they're doing great things here, and it's really great to see a small business going to a great cause. So,
Ellie Bordeaux is here. She's our newsletter editor at Up North News. And to learn more and to subscribe, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner there. Ellie also has a new weekly series called The Civic Check-In. And we're all about civic engagement at Courier Newsroom, at Up North News, and of course through Civic Media as well. It's right there in the name. But to have, you know, increased civic engagement, it would help to know a little bit more about civics. And in this case, some of the terminology that's being thrown around up there, some of the, you know, the values that help, you know, democracy thrive and stand up to various threats. So tell us about your latest installment of the Civic Check-In.
Yeah. So this week we talk about what democracy looks like in your community and the things you can do to participate in democracy. So obviously going out to vote is so important, and volunteering at polling places, those are such important ways to participate in democracy in your community. But there are also other ways that you can help, supporting local food pantries, which right now obviously is so important. So volunteering, donating, those kinds of things, helping with different community projects is a great way to help, at parks, libraries, other public spaces, those kinds of things. You can also attend school board or city council meetings. That's a great way to get involved in your local community. You know, everything starts local. So it's important to know what's going on in your own community, and then going to the broader scope as well. And just having respectful conversations with people you might not agree with. It's really important to understand different perspectives. And I always think we're lucky to live in a place where we get to disagree, you know, and I think it's important to engage in those conversations where you can understand different perspectives and hear people out and maybe learn something you didn't necessarily know, or gain a perspective that you didn't really think about. So those are all such great ways to participate in democracy just within your community.
So true. Ellie Bordeaux, our Up North News newsletter editor, is here with us. And there's been a lot of feel-good topics being covered. Now it's time to make some trouble. Because Ellie has asked people in the past about your favorite burger joint, about your favorite pizza place. And now we're getting quintessentially Wisconsin. And we're about to stir up some trouble in the area of curds.
Yes. Yeah. So this on Friday, we have our Locals Love section, where I ask you to send me your favorite pizza place or burger joint or whatever. So last week I asked about what are the best ways to spend Halloween in Wisconsin. Some people said local bars. Paul L. said, it's always fun to see people dressed up in costumes at the bars, including the bartenders. I've gone to big Halloween events where costumes are very extravagant and intended for winning big prizes. At the bars, costumes can be cheap and fun, and people still cheer for your costume. Other people said carving pumpkins, which is really great. I also asked about what you think the state candy should be. People said Snickers, gummy worms, cow pies, which are made in Wisconsin, and Milky Ways. Mm-hmm. And so next week, I'm looking for the best cheese curd joint, which I think definitely is going to stir up some interesting responses. You know, people are very passionate about their cheese curds. So
yes, I mean, look, I don't have any ties to these folks, but Nasonville Dairy, they've got that little yellow shack on Highway 29 just before Curtis, just west of Abbotsford, and I mean that's a must hit every time is to grab a bag of curds there. But there are so many people that will point to Ellsworth as the cheese curd capital of the world. Right. And there are plenty of other places. We asked this, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, maybe something like that, and got all kinds of great responses. And so here we go, boys and girls. Who makes the best cheese curd in Wisconsin? It is time to pick a side and get those examples sent in to Ellie. So you want them responding to the newsletter. Is that coming out this Friday?
Yeah, so that'll come out this Friday. You can send it to my direct email, or you can send it to just the general Up North News email, and I'll be sure to include it. We're going to be taking a look at what everyone thinks. And I was having a conversation with a coworker who lives in Houston, and she was like, what's a cheese curd? And I was like, oh gosh, oh no.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't even know.
But that is actually one of the great delights of living in Wisconsin is introducing visitors to cheese curds for the first time, because they hear curd and of course they think curdle and, ooh, this is not going to be good. And to watch their reaction, and they're like, how have I never had this before? Well, you got to have them when they're really fresh. You know, that's
yes.
the way. John in Oshkosh putting on the text line right now, never met a cheese curd I didn't like. So they're
true.
Oh, that's true. But you have to be aware that not everything that's advertised as a cheese curd is a cheese curd. There are some places that take shortcuts and they just like, they'll deep fry a little cube of cheese.
Right.
That ain't it. you want that globby fresh curd. And let's see. Oh, look at Rob in Tigerton. Bless his heart. He's always going to represent Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill off Highway 29. He says, Ellie, you need to try the cheese curds at Rachel's Roadside for excellent burgers and cheese curds. Rob, consider it done. We'll get in there and do that one of these times.
Love it. Yes, good to hear. I actually had a exchange student from Costa Rica when I was in high school, and I introduced her to cheese curds, and she was like, this is life-changing. I need to have these all the time. We sent like a little care package to her and included some cheese curds for her. She loved them. So it's really fun to introduce it to people.
And it's great to help people understand, you know, the fresh ones and then the hot ones. It's the fresh ones that squeak when they're very fresh. They got just a little salty taste to them. Mm-hmm. They're so delicious. And then once they're past that 2 days, 3 days, something like that, instead, those are the ones you deep fry. You see them in restaurants all the time. And yeah, Wisconsin, we deep fry our cheese. Go figure.
Right.
I don't know why we have an obesity problem in this state, but we are happy. We are happy with our cheese curds. Ellie Bordeaux puts all this together in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Thank you, Ellie.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Good to see you. Coming up at 7:35, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The phone lines are open at 855-75-CIVIC. What's on your mind? 855-752-4842. Last night's election results Is it a pivot point? Is it going to help hasten the end of the government shutdown, or is it going to make the right wing dig in their heels even more? We'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan about that coming up in 12 minutes, but you can weigh in on that right now if you like, either by phone, by text. You can send us a voice note through the Civic Media app as well. Would love to have your thoughts on, you know, what does the election result mean? Where do we go from here? I'm going to talk more about it in just a sec, but first a reminder that Monday marks the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And as a result, on Monday, we will play back our interview from over the summer with Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive, who has written a fascinating new book about the Edmund Fitzgerald, and you know, not just the usual stuff that you'd hear in a Gordon Lightfoot song. Okay, there's so much more beyond about the building of the ship, the maintenance of the ship, which wasn't ship shape, shall we say, and the real metaphor about the management of the American economy, where people back then in the late 60s and the mid 70s thought that the post-war boom was going to last forever. And I mean, if we've learned anything over the years, is that there are cycles. We learned that with the housing bubble. I remember at that point, or even before that, the tech bubble, the dot-com bubble, where people said, oh my gosh, we have figured out how to make the economy stay good forever. And the same thing happened with the dot-com bubble. And now it's happening to some people with the AI bubble. We can make, no, it doesn't. There's a real lesson to be learned about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald on this as well from Tom Nelson's book. And again, we will replay that interview Monday morning here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk just a bit about election night results, because by now I'm sure you've heard that it was essentially a clean sweep for Democrats and progressives and for democracy. You had gubernatorial wins in New Jersey and Virginia. You had a big win in New York City. California's Prop 50, which helps offset the rigging of the maps being done by Republicans in Texas. There's some things you might not have heard about. In Maine, voters passed red flag laws to help increase gun safety. They rejected measures designed to obstruct the right to vote. In Colorado, two ballot measures passed that would fund free meals for all public school students, give raises to cafeteria workers, and provide grants to schools to purchase fresh ingredients from local farmers. In Pennsylvania, the progressives have a 5-2 majority, and all five progressive justices were up for re-election, and all five won. Voters got wise to the fact that it was basically one Pennsylvania billionaire who was trying to unseat them. And voters, like here in the last Wisconsin state Supreme Court election, said, no thanks, we don't think that billionaires should be buying our elections. So, as we've talked about, what does all of this mean? And I mentioned last hour, I said that, you know, Zoran Mamdani talking about free bus fares, that's not going to cripple New York City. It's going to make the workforce more reliable. Affordable education doesn't break the bank. It creates the next wave of workers and creators and entrepreneurs. Healthcare for everyone is not going to bankrupt America. What's bankrupting it are the tax breaks to billionaires that we've been passing, you know, since the Reagan years. Tony mentions that the Minnesota State Senate remained under Democratic control by one seat after two special elections that took place. Now, of course, not everybody is happy with this. I've seen a few comments coming up that say, for example, you hear that sound? That's the moving trucks lining up in New York City to move anyone sane out. No, I don't think so. First off, I've met plenty of people who have made a good amount of money and understand that our taxes are the things that help pay for our schools and keep our roads from falling apart. And they just want good management. They want good tax policy. There's other people that just want, you know, taxes to go away. That's not how this works. And if voters want to try what Mamdani is saying will help make New York City more affordable, that's going to attract plenty of entrepreneurs as well. But one more note here. This isn't just a day of reckoning for Republicans. And I want Democrats of a certain stripe and a certain age to listen up here. Politics as usual is dead. Pick a side and stand forthrightly with it. You cannot work with people who would starve your constituents, force them off their health insurance, make them pay taxes that the wealthy can just ignore, and also back the people who would rig elections. Look, I was a centrist politician when it was possible to find people who were center right and wanted to work with those of us who were center left, but the center right has fallen in politics anyway. The center right is still very, very real in your neighborhood. The center right is real amongst your neighbors, your friends, your family. It is okay for people to not want free bus rides for everybody, or education, or single-payer health care. It's okay for them to insist that everybody pays at least a little something. It's okay to debate that, which way you should go on that. The problem is there aren't any center-right politicians right now who would do that. Right now, they all want the rich to get the freebies and then blame the others who can't afford private schools or basic groceries. They can't afford a follow-up mammogram for a possible cancer diagnosis. Oh, you want that? You must be socialist, is what they say. Republicanism does not have to be dead. Fiscal conservatism does not have to be dead. But Reagan-Trump economics and the tactics they use to stay in power have to be pushed off the American political stage if we are to ever rebuild our middle class and the jobs, education, healthcare, and infrastructure that will bring a new middle class to prosperity. And that's not a given that these things will happen. You got to fight for it. And the place to fight for it isn't necessarily in the streets, though the demonstrations are nice. You got to show up on election days. In Wisconsin, you got to show up 1 year from now, minus a day. And if you do that, as in these other states, we can turn a corner away from some of the ugly we have seen over the past 9 months or so. Congressman Mark Pocan is up next. You're up. Nice to have you back. So what is the significance of Tuesday's elections in other states around the country? We have reviewed the results. You've gotten my two cents on it. What do I know? Let's ask a sitting member of Congress, Mark Pocan, who joins us now from the 2nd Congressional District. And we'll talk a bit about the results and maybe how it moves things on the government shutdown front. Congressman Pocan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. And let's just start with your general overview, and I'll narrow it this way. Whatever it was that voters said on Tuesday, does it help at all to break the logjam that we see right now in the nation's capital?
It could. I saw a CNN reporter this morning, or maybe it was last night, tweeted out, actually it was this morning, that Trump at his breakfast with Senate Republicans said he wanted to talk to them a little bit about last night. And he said, I think you read the pollsters, the shutdown was a big factor negative for the Republicans. So, you know, hopefully they'll realize people like having health care and not going bankrupt in this country, and why it mattered and why it was an important fight. But that was interesting just from this morning. And, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that the shutdown and from all the polling, you know, it shows that they keep changing their message. We've been having one message that we're fighting for people's health care. And, you know, last night was a huge indication that between the tariffs and the fight on health care and taking food assistance away from kids and every crazy thing from tearing down parts of the White House, people have had it.
The thing is, and I'm not yelling at you, Congressman, but yes. I feel like I'm yelling here. They know this. They know Republicans, Donald Trump, others, they have never won a government shutdown. It has always, like the Coyote and the Roadrunner cartoons, they learn that people actually like a functioning government, which is not, by the way, an endorsement of everything that Democrats do or say, but shutting down the government is something that they have never seen as a beneficial tool in the toolbox. And so for President Trump to now say, well, maybe, I mean, is he the one that can say to congressional Republicans, all right, let's get a deal done? Is it a matter of congressional Republicans are telling the president, you got to get this done? Does it even matter?
Yeah, you know, if Donald Trump tells them all to jump in the lake, we will have several hundred wet Congress people within an hour, right? So that is what it will take. But I mean, it's been ridiculous. 7 weeks now we've not been there. I keep referring to it as a paid vacation because, you know, many members like Derek Van Orden in Wisconsin have barely done anything during the 7 weeks besides, you know, being on Twitter. And, you know, we should be passing a farm bill that's 2 years overdue. We've got a lot of older Americans on reauthorization that's a year overdue. We got a lot of stuff to do that's other than just the shutdown in healthcare. And, you know, just having us not show up, I think, has been a really awful strategy. And I think it had a lot of legs yesterday in the election.
Congressman Mark Pocan is joining us talking about the shutdown. And as long as you've mentioned Congressman Derek Van Orden from the adjoining 3rd Congressional District, western, southwestern parts of central Wisconsin, he was in La Crosse, once again covered by local media, where he was allowed to again give the usual talking point that somehow this is a Democratic shutdown. We don't need to debate that one. I mean, clearly the polls indicate people understand otherwise. But he was at the point where he was basically trying to act like a local elected official wading into a controversy, a zoning controversy with the Salvation Army. And he said something in there, and I think Parker might still have the audio, but I think he was kind of telling on himself a little bit. He thought he was talking about the La Crosse City Council, but in this bite, I really think he should give a listen to himself when it comes to Congress. Parker, can you play that?
You can't say that you're trying to help people and then not actually try to help them.
Are you Mark Pocan and you approve this message?
Yeah. Well, and he also said back in December they shouldn't be in the majority if they have a shutdown because with having all branches of government, they should be able to pass things. And he also, in that interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when he was in La Crosse, said that he won't even talk to Democrats. So, which is exactly the problem, right? People do expect us to talk to each other. They do expect us to work. They understand we may have differences, but, you know, to be a complete a-hole about things, I think is the best way to say, which is what Derek does, you know, pretty much daily. But to actually say that out loud, that he's not going to work with Democrats, I mean, that is not in a swing district, in a swing state, not the messaging people want to hear. They want to know you're trying to do something. That's why we keep going back to Washington as often as we can, even though we know Republicans aren't there, because we're trying to do something. And, you know, Derek sits in the basement and has a pitcher of pina coladas, I guess.
and again, all the tweeting, so much social media posting.
So
but again, he gets that from a president who is doing the same thing, even while holding these, you know, glittery ballroom functions and taking a wrecking ball to the White House at the same time. It is political timing of the worst sort, in that, again, history has shown us, unless Donald Trump is on the ballot running against a woman, every other midterm and special election in his first and second terms haven't gone his way. Mark, why is that?
Because of what he's doing, especially this time. You know, he's doing things that he wishes he could have done in the first term, and yet, but he had a few responsible people around him. This time he brought in sycophants, right? People just loyal to him who look good on video, right? And that's his whole goal. The problem is, without that buffer to bounce things off of, you know, when you tear down the east wing of the Capitol, people might raise their eyebrows in places like Wisconsin, because that seems not normal. Or when you take away healthcare for 15 million people and raise all of our rates in the process, that's not normal. When you take away food assistance from kids, that's not normal. And I think all of this stuff is finally, you know, reaching that point of, you know, I was told recently about a farmer who had a Trump flag up since the first Trump administration. So for over a decade, just took it down because guess what? He's a soybean farmer. And suddenly he realized he got affected personally. But a lot of people are being affected personally by Trump's tariff taxes, by all of his other actions.
We're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan, who once upon a time was seen as, you know, the epitome of the far left, or at least the group that you belong to, the Progressive Congressional Campaign Committee. And yet now there's a new label that's out there, Democratic Socialist. And we see it with the newly elected mayor of New York City, Zohran Mamdani. We've talked to state representatives Christian Phelps from Eau Claire and Francesca Hong of Madison. I've given them ample opportunity to say, well, we didn't really mean it. No, they do mean it. And it's not doing anything for conservatives other than lighting their hair on fire. So can you explain why people who now bring in that label that's used in other countries around the world Why is that catching on with a new generation of voters? What's the symbolism behind taking that label and saying, we're actually going to take this flag and run with it?
Well, I actually look at it a little differently. I think what Mamdani talked about incredibly on message everywhere he went was about the cost of living. And the cost of living in New York City is really expensive. So whether it be groceries, and he talked about a fix to that, transportation, he talked about a fix to that, housing, he talked about a fix to that. And guess what? We're finding the number one issue that's going against Donald Trump is his tariffs that are making us pay more for groceries and durable goods, paying more for energy because of the big ugly law, about to pay more for healthcare because of the same law, and housing has remained high. So this is, you know, most people don't follow you know, politics like you and I, Pat. We're kind of unusual, as you know. Most people are worried about, can they afford their rent or mortgage? They have healthcare for their family. Can they take that family vacation? And maybe the luxury of a snowmobile, a camper, a boat, you know, that's what they're talking about. And if Donald Trump has taken more out of their pocketbook every time they go get groceries or buy goods for the holidays, guess what? That has an impact. And we, again, saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it seems like Americans want two things. They want results and they want affordability. And so that's why they're looking at that. And I don't want to get too much in the weeds on history, but I feel like in Wisconsin, especially given our history of what was called the sewer socialism of Milwaukee in the early 20th century, again, that whole thing was noted on. This isn't about socialism the way that you think of it. It's about somebody actually wants to do things for the people, like fix the sewers in Milwaukee at the time. And I feel like I'm seeing much more of a results lens for the voters than just what team you're on.
Well, and are you listening to anything they're saying is what they want to know, right? And if you understand they're paying too much for groceries right now, then you're having a conversation with them. If you are talking about invading Greenland, you're probably not having a conversation with them. And I think that's the difference. We actually are doing that. The only thing Trump goes back to, he has some successes around the border, although he's got his biggest disconnect ever on immigration. He just went way too far, and on crime. You know, he thinks those are his safe places, so he kind of goes back to them. But right now, what people are most concerned about is that they can't afford things like they used to. They were promised a fix last November by Donald Trump. A year later, he's building $300 million ballrooms at 10 times the cost of per square foot of construction for a ballroom. And somehow, you know, that doesn't connect with what they're looking for.
No, there's a lot of Marie Antoinette going on here. We're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan. So let me ask this then, as we start to wrap things up on the shutdown, a lot of which is centered on this notion of health insurance costs, the premium tax credits that are going away, that are making policies under the Affordable Care Act much more expensive. Now, Republicans will say that, you know, Democrats voted for this, for a plan that had those credits expire at the end of this year, and that's it. That's something to support. And they're not cutting the benefits. They're just letting them expire as was planned. What do you say in response to that?
Yeah, just about like everything we do at the federal level, or as you know, at the state level, you tweak along the way. And when that was created, it was a big thing, right? 20 million people had health care that didn't before, but we realized some people still couldn't get access to it. So when that was changed a number of years, about a half a dozen or 5 years ago, we put those changes in place, but you still sunset them to make sure you did it right. And if they're done right, then you continue them. And guess what? They were done right. More people got access to healthcare. It's just simple governing. It's nothing else. And quite honestly, you know, we have to reauthorize our national defense spending on a regular basis. We reauthorize the Older Americans Act on a regular basis. It's just what you do in government. So again, one of their many arguments they've had during the shutdown has been this one, and it's another one that fell flat because there's nothing there.
Well, especially when you consider that their signature achievement this year has been renewing the 2017 tax cuts for corporations and the very rich. They understood that those were expiring, but it was a priority for them, so they fought for it. Now we've got these premium tax credits for health insurance that are expiring, and it's the kind of thing you're fighting for. And I get the sense that even if you didn't get your way to get them all extended at 100% of what they are, you can at least negotiate something if somebody would come to the table and negotiate with you.
You know, that, and if they would show us, it's been 15 years and they still haven't had to be able to produce a healthcare plan. I mean, you can't take away healthcare before you have a plan to replace it for the people who should have it. And the fact that they haven't, again, just makes all of their arguments ring so absolutely hollow. So, you know, we're fine. We know this is an issue that people care about. We're going to keep fighting on it. And, you know, maybe out of all of this even comes a better healthcare options for people. But right now, we're fighting to at least keep healthcare affordable for people. And that's what's at risk right now the most.
Yeah, I can't believe that concepts of a plan just isn't getting it done.
I know. I'd like them to try concepts of White Castle. I don't think the president would like that.
No. Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you so much as always for the update. It's always great to visit with you. Safe travels. Yes. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram about his What's Going On podcast that you can hear through Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check, and Governor Evers traveling overseas to a climate conference. And we'll talk to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks about measles outbreaks. They're unnecessary, but what to look for and how to prevent them. That's all on the way in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Temperatures around the state at 7:52 on this Wednesday morning range from 36 degrees way up in Solon Springs. There are 50s still being reported at places like Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Fort McCoy, and others. A lot of 40s out there. It's 43 here in the Chippewa Valley. It is 45 in Oshkosh. It is 46 degrees in La Crosse. Let's welcome in Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska to talk more about well, let's start with the high school postseason, because we've talked a bit about the high school football playoffs, but those, of course, are not the only fall sports. And so the whole fall sports season is starting to wrap up. What kinds of things are you following through the WIAA?
So last week, the cross country state championships wrapped up, and it was, as always, it's like track and wrestling. There's a lot of really cool things that happen with that. You get all these schools that kind of come into one spot, kind of a melting pot, if you will, of all the high schools. So that wrapped up last week. We have volleyball and soccer this week. So that is those are two, especially volleyball is one of the biggest state sports, I think, for team sports. That's in Green Bay. And they're actually announcing today that they're going to extend the volleyball and the girls basketball state tournaments this week in Green Bay at the Rush Center. So some big news coming this week for that.
Yeah. Oh, good. And then, of course, you've got, what is this, level three now for the high school football playoffs for the 11 player?
Yeah, it's the state quarterfinal round. So we are down to the final eight in each of the brackets for each division. And then eight player is in the semifinal round. So we are getting to the end here at fall sports here in Wisconsin in high school, which is exciting because now we are, you know, it also we're also transitioning a bit to winter sports with practices getting underway in basketball and hockey, with games coming here in just a couple of weeks in basketball already. It's hard to believe, but we are quickly turning our attention to winter sports.
Yeah, well, the weather's kind of doing the same thing here, but we're talking to Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, and look, this probably comes up every high school postseason, and I saw something on social media somewhere that made me want to ask you about it. A lot of us remember the old WISA, and which was like the for independent schools, private schools. They were essentially folded into the WIAA for all the public schools. And ever since then, there's been this talk about whether the private schools are competing in the proper division, because, you know, they might have a small enrollment, but they have a small enrollment sometimes in a big city. And that's different than a small enrollment in a rural school district when it comes to essentially your talent pool. And I liked the explanation you gave to me about how they try to essentially make adjustments so that you have competition that is as level as possible.
So this has been really kind of a recurring issue in the WIAA with its membership. And I don't think that it's any secret or anything new that schools have tried to kind of address what they perceive as inequity in this. For years, there were talks of having, you know, private school multipliers, kind of mirroring what's happening in states like Illinois, where, you know, you get a certain add-on to your enrollment based on whether or not you're a private school. There was a plan that came out a few years ago, which talked about breaking schools out into rural, suburban, urban, having multipliers based on that and where your school is located. So there have been plans that have sought to sort of address this. And the one that got through is what we have now, which is the tournament performance factor, which if you make it to the state tournament or win the state championship enough times in a short span, in a 3-year span, you accumulate points and that moves you up a division just automatically. You can actually move up a couple of divisions if you win a lot of titles in a short amount of time. So they've sought to address it. This is what they've landed on here the last couple of years. And you have to remember too, the WIAA is not like a monolith of executives. It is school membership voting on these things. So it's a combination of all the public and private schools that are WIAA members, and they come together and vote on these changes. Now, the tournament performance factor has been applied in most sports. There have been some exceptions carved out. And I think that the early tweaks that you're seeing are in sports like cross country, for example, where there's only 3 divisions, and moving a school up from, say, D3 to D2 in cross country, you're taking the smallest schools in the state and moving them into a pool of schools if they were to go to state. From D3 to D2, where they're competing now against schools with enrollments over 1,000. So there have been some things that have come out, and they've sought to address it through amendments and other WIAA procedures, you know, advisory committees, coaches committees. They have definitely worked on some of those things, but that's the system we have in place right now. And that is, I think that is how they have sought to address what they perceive in sports. Because I know when you look at the state field for volleyball, for example, it is about 50-50 in public and private schools. I know that the from the outside, when you look at that, you say, oh, wow, like maybe there should be something done. Well, they have sought to address it with the membership. And, you know, there are more public than private schools. And this is what they voted on.
You know, only the most cynical among us would say, you know, the way to fix this is paying the kids. We'll have name, image, and licensing deals, and we'll have transfer portals. That's guaranteed to clean things up in high school sport. I don't think anybody is cynical. And well, maybe I said it out loud, but I don't think that anybody else necessarily would. But
well, there's open enrollment. So, I mean, this stuff is already happening even at public schools. You know, this is something that, you know, I know that there's a lot of things you can say about the public versus private school debate. I'll just say, you know, I can't say that I pick a side on any of this stuff. I think above all else, you're talking about kids, you know, and kids competing in a school activity. So that's kind of where I draw the line is, hey, we're talking about kids. That's what it is, you know, but, there's definitely going to be student movement with open enrollment and all the other things you can do. Open enrollment in Wisconsin, by the way, is not that it's completely unlimited. There are some guardrails to it, like junior and senior year transfers. You know, if you change schools without your family relocating, you actually lose eligibility, things like that. But the fact that you can pretty much enroll at any school you want in Wisconsin, I think that you're going to see student athlete movement regardless.
Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cusco with a great explanation there. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you a little later.
We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. And by the way, there is the other extreme point of view of, you know, what are we even doing paying for all these sports? Maybe they should just be private community clubs instead, and schools could focus on academics. We'll save that for another time. Again, so much more to cover, including Dr. Kelly Snooks in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.